It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It is the 30th of July. God is good. He's brought us thus far. Happy New Week. We had a wonderful Sabbath yesterday with the Lord in worship, and we thank you all for joining us. We'll be posting the message. It was entitled Fraud on the Court. You want to hear that message, brothers and sisters. All right, it's time for our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together, to be able to open up your word and to have worship. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now we ask for your spirit to come and teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. Bless us in this way, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
of our worship message, brothers and sisters, is the Song of Moses and the Principles of Christian Music. The Song of Moses and the principles of Christian music. Let's pray, dear friends. Father, thank you so much for bringing us to our knees to hear the Word of God, to listen to truth. Oh, Father, truth sets us free. Help us to be removed from every ounce of bondage, that we might understand that we are made. If the Son sets us free, we're free indeed. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, the Song of Moses and the Principles of Christian Music. You know, a lot of people believe that we just have to have a short list of things that we must do in order to be a good Christian. Got to believe that Jesus died for my sins, that I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, gifts of the Spirit. And we have our own list. We don't go with what the Bible says. We just make our own list of what is important. And notice, you will see commandment keeping is not on many people's list, okay? And we'll even excuse things and bring about unity by saying things like, oh, hey, it doesn't matter what you believe. You do believe Jesus died on the cross, right? You know? And so we say, okay, you believe Jesus died on the cross, you can fellowship with us. And so I am here to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's not about who we can fellowship with. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just talking about how it's done out in the world. You know, when people find out, okay, you're Methodist, Presbyterian, okay, yeah, you guys are on the list. We have a list, but that list is not a biblical list. We have a list of people we will accept. And those who keep the commandments are not usually on that list, okay? So what I'm trying to tell you here, brothers and sisters, is that we're going to learn in this message that we have to follow God's principles. So to be a Christian, you follow Christ. So a lot of people would say, so you understand where I'm going with this, a lot of people would say that your music styles don't matter as long as you accept Jesus as your Savior. And as long as, you know, you're teaching Jesus, if it's hard rock with his hand, Jesus, 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 then you're uplifting Jesus. Might not be my style, but you're uplifting Jesus. And maybe it's jazz, you know, a jazz style, but it's uplifting Jesus. You see, I'm talking about Christian music. I'm talking about music in the church, brothers and sisters, and or music Christians should listen to. My point being made is, when you follow Christ, it is a complete lifestyle. It is a complete package. You can't follow Christ and just dress any way you want to and think Christ will accept it because he told us we must dress modestly. You can't even pray any way you want to pray and think Jesus will accept it just because you called on his name. We have principles of how to pray. And so I'm trying to emphasize at the beginning of this message that when you decide to follow Christ, it's a complete package. You can't say, okay, Lord, I'll accept this from you, but I don't want that. It doesn't work that way, brothers and sisters. Because guess what? There's music in heaven. There's dress in heaven. The alarm went on snooze instead of being cut off. There's worship in heaven. Look at Isaiah 66 and find out what day we will worship in heaven. It tells us from Sabbath to Sabbath we will come before the Lord in the new earth. So you're going to be keeping the Sabbath, worshiping God on the Sabbath in the new earth, my brothers and sisters. What am I trying to say? I'm just simply saying that I want to introduce this message to say that if you want to follow Christ, you have to give him all of your heart. And that would include every minutia of your life and lifestyle and principles must line up with biblical principles, brothers and sisters. That's why we're here, to prepare for heaven. All right, so we're going to be talking about Christian music today. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song, this is Exodus 15, unto the Lord, and spake, saying, and listen to the content. It has content. It sparks and stimulates your intellect. It has information for you. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. You see, your body is God's temple. They were singing that they had to prepare God a habitation, a place to live in. Friends, if you're eating anything, any kind of way, any time of the day, you're not preparing a habitation for the Lord, because he wants to live in you and speak to the sensitive nerve endings of your brain. If they're drunk, how can he speak? If they're clouded and clogged up, how can he talk to you, friends? We're to prepare an habitation, and music was designed to help us prepare our bodies as a habitation for God to live. It says, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captives also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. You see all this information? You see all this intellectually stimulating inspiration here, brothers and sisters? Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. This is all one song. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. This is all one song. Thou didst blow with the wind, with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty water. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. Brothers and sisters, we have inspiration about the sanctuary. We have inspiration about the great things that God is going to do, places that he's going to do them in, and where he's going to remain the conqueror. We have information about how great he is, how marvelous he is, how holy he is. It is food for thought in the song, brothers and sisters. I'm sharing that for a reason, and we'll get to that in a moment. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariot and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. Uh-oh, they were dancing. Come on now, got to tell the truth, shame the devil. We're going to talk about it, friends. And Miriam answered them, saying, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses, and that's all we're going to talk about, because it goes into another issue. They started complaining about water. The Song of Moses is all in verses 1 through 21. Now, brothers and sisters, this is how you see a lot of people doing church. Look at verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel unto the Lord this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. And then we make a whole song about I will, the choir. The leader says, I will, the choir says, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And then somebody else will say, sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord, I will, I will, I will, I will. I want y'all to understand something, brothers and sisters. Back in 1960, the Roman Catholic Church held a conference called Vatican II. It was their world conference. They had learned that, okay, they weren't really making inroads into Protestantism like they'd like to, okay? They wanted to gain control over the world like when they used to have control over the world and you couldn't even open a Bible. So they realized that doesn't work anymore. There's too much freedom that the Protestant movement has engendered. And so they had to find another way, another way. And they realized if the people study the Bible, that their eyes would be opened, that the blinders would melt away. They realized that they had to put the people under a spell. Brothers and sisters, if you don't believe in witchcraft, let me tell you, I believe in witchcraft. I don't practice witchcraft, but I believe it's real. And I'm going to tell you, many people come to church and are under a spell. And you need to ask God, Lord, am I under a spell? When you can't see the clearest statements from the Word of God on any subject, but you go to church, you're under a spell. If you believed in Adam and Steve, and you can't find Adam and Steve in the Bible, but it feels right, you're under a spell. And only God can get you out of that spell. I don't care what the subject is, brothers and sisters. I just use Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve, the homosexual movement. If you believe that eight people in a place called Bethel, this is a Jehovah's Witness, hear from God and only they hear from God and we must accept everything they hear from God, you're under a spell because the Bible said don't do that. It says of the noble Bereans that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. Then they went home and searched the scriptures to see if it was right. That's what Paul admonished and the true disciples. They wanted you to study the word of God for yourself so that you would know what is truth, brothers and sisters. Don't lean on a preacher. We are men, and we're men first. And I know some of them are women. And please understand, let me just get that right. A woman can teach. A woman can preach. There is nothing in the Bible that says they can't. But the role of elder, pastor, was male, brothers and sisters. That's bottom line. A mother might lose her husband, but her children will never call her daddy. Now, she might have to use a hammer. She might have to do some of the hard work that her husband used to do. But she's still mommy. That's her role, brothers and sisters. And that's the right role, because if she remarries, there would be confusion. Female daddy and regular daddy, what kind of mess is that? And so I'm trying to tell you here, brothers and sisters, that I'm not going to deviate too far, but I'm just trying to say that I believe in balance. There is nothing in God's word that says a woman cannot teach the word. But we should have, as the leaders in the church, men. That is what God has designed, and it's only. And let me tell you something so you understand that I am not male chauvinistic. Did you know that if it had been Adam, men aren't going to like this. Women might like this. I don't know. But if it had been Adam who had been deceived, Eve would have been the head of the house. The Bible clearly says it was because she was deceived that God put man to rule over her. Now, you know, men take that the wrong way and think they're supposed to beat down their wives. That is just a position of authority. When those rare times, hopefully rare, if you get the right one, it will be rare times that you have to make a decision that your wife might not like. Or when a husband and a wife don't agree and they just can't come to an agreement, after prayer, the husband's has to be the leader. His way, his decision has to guide. But the wife and the children only follow if it doesn't lead them into sin. You see, we obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. But that's not if he's asking you to sin against God. So we got to keep all these things in balance. That's why I love the whole Bible. Amen. And so, brothers and sisters, yes, women can teach the word, but the role of the leader of the church was male. That's how God said it. And it was because Eve was deceived. If that's what the Bible tells us. And so that would suggest to me that if Adam was, because you need to understand this. Did you know he was not the head of the house until sin? There was no need of a head of the house. Their minds were in such synchrony that they had the mind of God. They just believed the same. There was no issue. It's just like the Father and the Son. The Father is the head, but the Bible is clear in Hebrews that he is equal with God. Jesus is equal with the Father. Yes, they have those roles, but they think alike, brothers and sisters. And so he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So our wives are our equal. Husbands and wives are equal. They have roles. Okay, so getting back to our topic. The Roman Catholic Church realized that they needed to find a way to put a spell on Protestants. And so they invited Protestants in 1960 or thereabouts to Vatican II conference. That's the like worldwide Catholic conference where great decisions are made. They invited Protestants and said, hey, we're all in this thing together. And they said, let's change the way we do church. And they said, you can look all this up. Just type in Vatican II. Get your dictionary out because it might use some polysyllabic words, some long words. Get your dictionary out. Google Vatican II and liturgy. Now, liturgy is a word that just simply means how we conduct church, okay? Liturgy is how we do church. So if you type in Vatican II and liturgy, you will find that the Catholics and the Protestants, before I was born in 1968, made a decision that they would change the way we do church in Christianity, and we would bring in a more celebratory type of service. You see, they realized that they had introduced the secret rapture because a Jesuit priest, I have a book that's going to be coming out soon. It has been published many years ago, but I never really got it out. But it's called How Christ Fulfilled the Law, and it gives you the history. I show all the papers. I show all the documents. Now, some of them aren't even in English, but I show you the cover of the document because some of these were written in Latin, but it gives the interpretation of it. And what the Catholics did, you see, Protestants, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Seventh Adventists, all of them believed that the Pope was in place of Christ. What is another word for being in place of Christ? It's called Antichrist. You see, Antichrist doesn't mean against Christ, although you are against Christ if you're Antichrist. It means in place of Christ. And the Roman Catholic Church puts the Pope in place of Christ. He is the vicar of Christ, the personal representative. He is God on earth. They kiss the man's feet. Those dirty, nasty feet, brothers and sisters. And That's not being critical. Those feet aren't holy feet, brothers and sisters. They get dirty just like anybody else's. He has to take a shower. He has to clean them up. There's nothing holy about his feet, okay? That's all I'm saying. I'm not, like, trying to be derogatory about the man's feet, okay? But my feet would be dirty and nasty. Don't kiss them. I'm not asking you to kiss my feet. Come on now. Now, maybe right after I shower, they would be clean. But after I go through the day, at the end of the day, I don't come home and my wife's kissing my feet. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. So I just want to make sure we're clarified on that. I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm telling you what happened, okay? But they do worship him, and the Bible predicted it in 2 Thessalonians that the man of sin would arise, and he would claim to be God, sitting in the temple of God, declaring that he is God. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So the Roman Catholic Church realized that if Protestants believe that the Pope is Antichrist, then they would never be able to take over again and do what the Bible said will be done in Revelation chapter 13, where the world would wander after the beast. They realized they wouldn't be wandered after, and they realized that the second beast of Revelation 13 wouldn't be fulfilled, which is that America would cause the world to worship the first beast. Now, we know that worship deals with Sunday worship, brothers and sisters, and that's what the Bible says. And America is going to lead out in that movement. And that's why the Bible tells us, come out of Babylon. Read Revelation 18, brothers and sisters. I'm not telling you things that aren't in the Bible, so we're going to keep moving forward on our music, okay? So the Roman Catholic Church realized that when they have a whole system called the Jesuit Order, and if you want to, it's up to you. I wouldn't share this with children, but if you want to type in Jesuit Oath of Induction, brothers and sisters, if they didn't take it out, this was in the Library of Congress, the Jesuit Oath of Induction, and it basically says they can do anything they want as long as it is bringing the Catholic Church back to the exalted position that it was in. They can lie, they can steal, and I am telling you, it talks about the horrendous things that they can do, including the types of murders that they can commit. I'm not going to say it because children might be here, but it is very graphic how they describe how they can murder people, and it is the Jesuit Oath of Induction. So, you know, people think the Jesuits are just this educational group that they did change the educational system here in America, and it wasn't for the better, brothers and sisters. The whole system of degrees where we compete for one another, and there's a combination of good and evil, that came from the Jesuit order, my friends. That did not come from the Lord. And so, and by the way, I realized based on the time, we might not get to our second topic. We were going to be talking on health under the unscientific medical science. So we'll see if the Lord gives us the opportunity to do that, because this is important, dealing with these principles of Christian music. You say, well, you haven't gotten to music yet. Yes, I'm building a foundation. You see, they decided that the way we would do church would be different. Why did they decide that? Well, they realized that when one of their Jesuit priests developed a theory called the secret rapture. It's not in the Bible, friends. Not in the Bible. They developed the secret rapture theory. They realized it was the Pentecostals, the evangelicals, that took it hook, line, and sinker. And they examined, why would they take it hook, line, and sinker? You see, the evangelicals, they get involved in emotional liturgy. You see, you can be talking about somebody behind their back, gossiping and backbiting, and having lustful thoughts. But when you get into the church, the Holy Spirit comes over you, and your hands start waving, and your body starts moving, and you have uncontrollable movements, and you start running up and down, shouting, and then speaking gibberish, all controlled supposedly by the Holy Ghost. And it was that group is who accepted the Jesuit teaching of the secret rapture. And they analyzed that thing, and they said, it's because they have an emotional-based religion. They're under a spell. But we can get them with this doctrine once they're under the spell of emotional liturgy. Liturgy that's not how we do church, that's not based on a teaching of thus saith the Lord, brothers and sisters. And we call it praise and worship. Okay, I'm just telling you what they call it. And the people praising and worshiping often are dressed seductively, and we get up with tight dresses and cleavage showing and every curve of the body being exposed to the sight of men, and the men are happy, and they don't even know why they're happy. They think they're happy because of what they're singing, and they're happy also because of what they're seeing, and we call it praise. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to share some things with you. I'm going to share some things with you even scientifically, because you need to understand. So they decided that they would make it celebration-type worship. And after that, and of course I was born in 1968, in my younger years, I didn't even used to see drums in most churches. Now you can't find a church without drums. Okay? Now there's nothing evil about the drum, but I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. The devil knew that the syncopated beat has an effect on your body, and it has an effect on you of arousal, and that arousal makes you feel happy, and so you feel like the Spirit of God has come on you, and you don't need detailed truth in your life because you go to church because of how you feel. I'm going to show it to you. So what we do, brothers and sisters, if this was how a lot of people sing today, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The leader would say, into the sea, into the sea, into the sea. The choir says, into the sea, into the sea. The choir says, into the sea. It's just this repetition. Now, I don't have a scripture in the Bible that says we should not sing with vain repetition, but I do have a scripture that says we should not pray with vain repetition. I'm going to read it to you. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Now, I would suggest, brothers and sisters, if we're not supposed to pray with vain repetition, then we're not supposed to sing with vain repetition. Notice what it says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, of course, there's a lot to say about the Lord. That's not the much speaking wasn't the problem, but what they were saying was just repeating, repeating, repeating. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. And that's what you have. And people feel good at the end of that. And you said almost nothing. You didn't enlighten people. We already knew he was good. Okay? Now, you might say, but there is a song in the Bible that uses repetition. Yes, there is, friend. But it's not vain repetition. I'm going to read you that song. It was a song. If you go to your Bibles, to Psalm 136, listen to the repetition. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. So the mercy endureth forever is because you already educated them that he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the God of God, for his mercy endureth forever. So that's not vain repetition. You introduced something new. You said he is not a regular God. He's the God of all gods. Then it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. So why did we repeat, for his mercy endureth forever? Because you introduced something else spiritually, intellectually, that now he does great wonders. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. You added something. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. It's not vain repetition, brothers and sisters, because you're introducing powerful truth into the life, and you're emphasizing it because his mercy endureth forever. He's this good to us. Because his mercy endureth forever, he's the great creator. Because his mercy endureth forever, he can help me in my trials, brothers and sisters. That's not vain repetition, but just to say, yes, he is, 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 yes, he is. Come on, church, yes, he is, yes, he is, yes, he is, yes, he is. You are committing the vain repetition error that we said was said in the Bible. We should not pray that way, so why sing that way, brothers and sisters? It's wrong, and it puts you under a spell, and I'm going to show it to you. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule the day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. So it just goes on. That's the chapter that repeats his mercy endureth forever. But it's not a vain repetition, brothers and sisters. Okay? Now, let me share some things with you from science. And there's nothing wrong with good and true science. So I've already told you, if you want to research some of the things, research Vatican II, because they changed the liturgy and they said, we're going to make it more of a celebration worship service. So you used to have, when I was growing up, Baptist. Then they changed to full gospel Baptist. Why? Because they want to be Baptist in their doctrine, but they want to get the arousal that you get when you do the type of worship that the holiness people did do. And the Pentecostals do, so on and so forth. Now, please understand, brothers and sisters, these are my, if a person loves Jesus, they are our brother and sister. I want you to understand that, okay? I have to teach the truth. You know why? Because people don't study the book of Revelation. But the book of Revelation speaks of a time in the future when people will turn on their ministers and they will turn on them and say, you knew this and did not teach us the truth. And they will hold those ministers accountable. Many of them will lose their lives. I won't be one of them. I'd rather you not like me, but know that Shellam Fleming will tell the truth, okay? And brothers and sisters, we have to tell the truth in love. We have to be kind and loving people. We're not to be stoic and harsh and rough in our demeanor. We should come close to the people. We should be able to, you should be able to pick up the phone and call your pastor and talk to him about things that you need to be talked to, and if it's appropriate, talk to his wife or whatever the case might be. The point being made, brothers and sisters, is that there is something wrong with how people do church, and I'm going to show it to you from the Word of God and from science, okay? So the first thing I'm going to take you to is this article. It's from, believe it or not, this article is, let me just see here. The title of the article is Cognitive and Affective Judgment of Syncopated Music Themes, or Syncopated Musical Themes, okay? And it talks about how the syncopated rhythm affects you, okay? I'm just going to read a portion of it. You can study this whole thing, and this is what scientists have studied. We already know this, and it's obvious. In contrast to the relationship between rhythm and emotion, the relationship between rhythmic structure and cognitive complexity is quite well understood. There is a solid body of research, most of it conducted in the context of Western art music, indicating that syncopated patterns are more structurally complex than unsyncopated patterns in terms of both objective mathematical description as well as subjective perception and production. According to the majority of approaches, rhythmic complexity can be defined according to how well a pattern fits with a metric framework. And it just goes on and talks about that. But let me read this paragraph. A syncopated rhythm produces a momentary violation of a listener's schematic temporal expectancies and should therefore evoke emotion because emotion is generated when an expectancy is delayed or inhibited. What is that saying? That is saying that the way God made us, I don't call myself a musician, but I have musicians in my family. I would call most of my siblings musicians. I don't take that title to myself. But the bottom line is I know a little bit about music, okay? And I'm here to tell you that when you look at a music staff, those several four or five lines that go horizontally, you have a time signature. And one of the most popular time signatures is 4-4. You've seen a 4 on top of a 4. What that means is there's 4 beats to a measure, and the quarter note gets 1 beat. So if I was to sing a song like Onward Christian Soldiers, you go 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4. I'll sing it. Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war. It is natural for the human to expect the beat to fall on the first and third. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. The mind expects that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So what they found scientifically is when that is interrupted, it creates a change in your mind, and it eventually causes an arousal, an emotional arousal. So I'm going to do the same song. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. You see how my body starts just naturally moving? My head just starts naturally. I didn't even try to do it. I started looking at myself in the camera. But it's Onward, Christian, so that's 1-4. 1, 2, 3, 4, that's natural. But if you switch it up and make it syncopated, onward, Christian, soldiers, marching as to war. And so what we do, brothers and sisters, is the Catholic Church said we need to bring that into the church so that we can cause an arousal spell upon the people. And people come to church, and they don't know what the pastor preached. They can't say what scriptures he used, but they say, man, but he really preached. What did he preach about? I don't know, but he preached, and it was good. And the music has aroused us, and it creates a spell. And because you've been aroused, you interpret that arousal as spiritual help me, Jesus. Enthusiasm or spiritual, a heightened spiritual elevation, okay? You interpret it as that arousal as a heightened spiritual elevation, and you feel like you sense the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was a spell that comes from the syncopated beat, brothers and sisters. Now, I'm black, okay? Nothing wrong with being black. I'm a black man. I have wonderful brothers and sisters that are Caucasian. Keep listening. I didn't bring up my race just to isolate anybody. But I'm here to tell you that when we start talking about some of these principles, you will find PhDs, you will find preachers, you will find presidents of conferences, and they will tell you that this is part of the black experience and that we don't have to sing like white people. That's what they will say. They might not say it that way. They might find more diplomatic ways of saying it, but they're basically saying it's our culture to be that way. And I'm here to tell you, if you go back to African culture, brothers and sisters, there are some things in African culture that are not biblical, just like there are some things in Anglo-Saxon culture that are not biblical. When you come to Christ, it's nothing wrong with tradition if it does not disagree with the Word of God. But when tradition disagrees with the Word of God, my brothers and sisters, we give up tradition. And culture is a form of tradition. That's what it is. It is a form of tradition. And you can go back to the witch doctors of Africa, and you will see that they use the same beat. Instead of boom, one, two, three, instead of one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, it's one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, and I'm going to stop, okay? My point being made is that science will tell you that the syncopated beat actually causes an arousal. It puts you in a state of a trance-like state, and that's what happens. I'm not telling you to do this, but I'm telling you, when you go to Pentecostal churches, holiness churches, you don't just start teaching and preaching and people just calmly in the Word of God and going from scripture to scripture, then all of a sudden they just fall out. No, the drums, the music, everything gets them going. Then the preacher comes out. And then at the end of his sermon, to kind of solidify everybody into that spell, he says something, and the organist knows to start, and the drummer knows to start doing the drumming, and the guitarist knows to start doing it, and they end the service with that high pitch situation too, with all that syncopated beat, brothers and sisters. I'm here to tell you that the syncopated beat puts you under a spell. Now, I'm going to read it to you. So you understand I didn't make this up. This is from What is Syncopation in Music and Why It Matters. It's from the Icon Collection. It says, a syncopated rhythm shifts the pattern by emphasizing weak upbeats instead of the strong downbeats. We have the strong downbeats. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Watch my hand. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. You see, so it's the upbeat that it emphasizes. For example, songs with a 4-4 time signature usually stress the first and third beats. However, a syncopated rhythm may emphasize the second and fourth beats or notes between them. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, when I'm officiating at church and somebody wants to sing, we didn't used to have to do this, but today you need to listen to the soundtrack. And I'm telling you, most soundtracks, it's just better not to have any with drums because most of the beats of the drum are not 1-3, they're 2-4. And if you allow the devil an inch, he eventually will take a mile. And so a lot of these, they're beautiful songs. I mean, there's some beautiful songs, but you start hearing that beat, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, and it has an arousal effect that is not good for your Christian walk. It puts you in an emotional high instead of a high because you have intellectually accepted the plan of salvation in your life. And so I'm here to tell you that the Song of Moses is a wonderful example of godly Christian music. And if we would follow it, friends, there was a lot of intellectual information. Now, Miriam took a timbrel, and she started doing it, and they were dancing. Here's the point, brothers and sisters. Biblical dancing was a celebration after a near-death experience. David danced when he should have been killed by the Philistines, outnumbered, outgunned. I'm just using modern terminology. They didn't have guns. But they were outflanked, and God delivered them through his strength of hand. And you just can't sit still when that happens. So they jumped and they leaped and they praised God. They were not coming before the presence of God in the sanctuary. The Bible tells us in Habakkuk 2:20, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Come before his presence with singing. It says we should enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. But what is praise, friends? It's just because they call what a world calls praise. That doesn't mean it's praise. Just because you clap your hands and all this kind of stuff. And friends, we need to realize we're in the presence of an almighty God. You wouldn't go to the White House, walk in the White House, just clapping your hands, walking in the White House. You wouldn't go there doing that. Now, maybe you would because you have no respect for the White House. But think about places you have respect for. You wouldn't go to the library doing that. You wouldn't go to some of the other places you go to doing that. Now, you might act that way at a stadium, but you're just jumping up and down because your team won. That was biblical dancing, friend. When God did some things for his people where they should have died, they could not keep still. They jumped, they leaped, they clapped their hands, if they had timbrels, they did it. That is not standing in the very presence of God with a syncopated beat and doing the same kind of rhythms and movements that are done in the club. Now, you tell me it's not the same. You tell me it's not the same. Same dance moves, same thing. That there should be a difference. People often go to the club, and they get involved in a lot of folly in a club, brothers and sisters. Why do we bring those same things into the church? There should be a difference, don't you think? If a man sees a woman on the dance floor and she's, got certain rhythms and moves and it arouses him sexually, don't you think the same arousal sexually would take place if she did those same moves in the church? It's not just because she's in another building, brothers and sisters. I'm just trying to show you what we have done, what we have done to worship. It's not God's worship, and people are under a spell, and that's why when you start teaching truth, they can't grab it. They can't grasp it because they're under a spell. Friends, we can get out of that spell. We need to ask God to help us. Lord, remove every spell. Remove the influence of Satan. Take the blinders off my eyes. Help me to accept truth. Brothers and sisters, there's not two truths on any one subject. There's only one truth on any one subject. It's either Adam and Steve or it's Adam and Eve. You cannot have both. It's not correct. We either go to heaven when we die or we don't go to heaven when we die. You can dress any kind of way you can dress, or you have to dress modestly. We should be worshiping on the Sabbath, or we should be worshiping on Sunday or some other day. You can't have two different truths on every subject. The problem is we are under a spell. And I'm here to tell you the Catholic Church started that spell by creating in Vatican II with the Protestants a celebratory type of worship. They realized it worked. Because it worked with the Pentecostals and holiness types of movements, accepting their rapture theory, even though it's not in the Bible. It's because they're under a spell because of how they do church. The Catholic Church realized this, and they said, we got to put all Protestantism under a spell. So, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something, just so you know I'm balanced. This is in the majority of Seventh-day Adventist churches, too. So this isn't an attack on Sunday churches. Most of the Adventist churches, many of them, are doing the same thing. And that's why when you start talking about the health message, the church that had the health message as one of its primary themes, they eat anything, most of them today. Oh, you don't have to do all that. Pastors get up in church and make fun of people who they call health reformers. Make them sound like they're old-fashioned hags and, whatever the case might be. Friends, this is what you'll find in these churches because they're under a spell. That spell keeps us from studying, and thus saith the Lord. I'm here to bring you back to the Bible, friends. That's all we're trying to do, bring you back to the Bible. That's what we must be back to if we are going to be faithful to God. And when you have these music themes or music styles, friends, that put us under a spell, we feel an arousal, and we interpret that arousal as God being with us, and therefore, if God is with me, I don't need to give up my, you know, makeup and jewelry and my worldly dress and whatever. God doesn't care about any day of worship. He doesn't care. You know, I start having those thoughts. Hey, if you want to go Adam and Eve, and I want to go Adam and Steve, hey, you know, we all get together and we do our little prayer dancing and singing and praising, and I feel good about myself. So it must be all right because I feel good. Let me tell you something. You cannot go to heaven based on feeling. You must go to heaven based on a decision to follow Christ. And when you follow Christ, you must follow him all the way. All right, friends, we're going to close, but I'm going to open out with questions in case people have some questions and want to ask anything. I pray no one was offended. It was not my desire to offend. Again, I'll read it to you one day, but the Bible does teach that ministers will be held accountable for what they teach the people. And I want you to like me. I think that's good. I want you to like me, but I want to know, first of all, that I've told you the truth. And if you like me after being told the truth, that's a wonderful thing. But if you don't like me, I will tell you this. I will not be one that you attack because you're lost. And you said to the minister, you knew this, and you never told me. So that's why ministers, people want to be preachers. Let me tell you something. You don't understand the responsibility that you have when you're a preacher. Like, a lot of people don't understand the responsibility of being a police officer. You can't just be beating people up. You've got to be able to be told by a drunk person. You got to be called a N-word and a H-word if you're white. And you can't just brutally beat those people, you know, whether they're drunk or not. Your job is to keep your cool as a police officer. So just like that, we have roles. And when you become a preacher, brothers and sisters, you have to tell the truth, but you have to live the truth, and you have to treat people kindly, and you have to keep your life pure in Christ, okay? God is good. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the truth. We ask that you bless us, that we will enjoy Christian music with themes to inspire the intellect, that through the word and through intellectual understanding of what we're saying, that we give praise and glory and honor, and that it does cause us to be happy. But rather than the vain repetitions and the syncopated beats and the things that just make us clap our hands and feel good, but that then suppress our appetite for thus saith the Lord. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, friends, tomorrow we'll be picking it back up. We're going to learn about the children of Israel and their faithless nature when they ran into a situation where they had no water. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to ask any question, please feel free to do so. Press star 6. Anyone on Facebook, we've got roll call first. We've got South Carolina. We've got Louisiana. We have Maryland. And we have an amen from Maryland. Praise God. And on the call, we have Ohio again. We have Maryland. We have Delaware again. We have New Jersey. We have Iowa. We have Georgia. I like it. We've got red, yellow, black, and white among us, brothers and sisters. All are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You know, you have to teach a child to be prejudiced. Children aren't naturally prejudiced. Did you know that? Parents teach them, don't like those white people, don't like those black people, don't like those Latino people or Mexican people or whatever they call them. You know, we teach our children to be that way. Children are not naturally prejudiced. All right. Anyone have a question? Anyone have a comment? We've got about 5 minutes to the top of the hour. We can engage any comment or question you'd like. And so on another day, brothers and sisters, I'll probably change the title on Facebook because we really never got to the unscientific medical science. We didn't talk about that, so we'll try to change that title. And the title simply will be the Song of Music and, you know, principles of biblical music. All right, we've got our dear Sister Leilani on the line. We'll take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Good morning. I didn't wake up in time to hear the full message, but do you have these messages recorded where I could go and get the message?
Yes, ma'am. So what I'm going to tell you is there is two ways. There is a playback, and it's a telephone playback, okay? And I can send you, would you like me to text you? Let me just announce the number, but I'll text it to you personally. The playback number is 267-807-9613. Again, I'm going to text that to you. You will have to put in a access code, and that's 635-270. Now, every recording has a reference number, and we don't usually put the reference number, and maybe I'll talk to our person who puts it up on the website, because you would have to know the reference number. So if you listen for the next 24 hours, you don't have a reference number, you just hit pound, and it will play the most recent one that we've done, okay? So if you later today, you can listen to today. But after tomorrow, if you don't have a reference number, it will only play tomorrow's broadcast. So it plays the most recent if you don't have a reference number. But if you need the reference number for today, let me know. Once the message is over, it will give us a reference number, and I will be able to say that's reference number 2250 or whatever it is. And then you would be able to put in that reference number and always listen to that specific message. So it's a playback number with an access code for the first 24 hours. That's how you listen to that message. After that, that message must be listened to with a reference number. However, if you go to torwm.org, it sometimes takes 24 to 48 hours, but usually within that time, the message is put there, and it's permanently there, okay, until we just run out of space. So it'll be there for a year or so. And so torwm.org hosts all the recordings, but we have to actually upload them manually, and so that's usually done within 24 to 48 hours, okay? I hope that helps. I will definitely reach out to you and give you that information.
Okay, text me that information.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I'm doing that right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Access code 635-270. Okay, it's been done, sis. It's been sent. Let me make sure I got it right. 635-270. Yep, good. Okay, anyone else before we wrap it up? It's the top of the hour. I guess we'll just go ahead and close out with prayer. If my wife is available, I'll have her have our closing prayer at this time. And she might not be. Father in heaven, bless us as we close out this message on Christian music and the Song of Moses. I pray that you would bless us today. May your Holy Spirit fill us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, my brothers and sisters, God be with you. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you. Happy New Week. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord.
I will worship the Lord, I will worship.
Before I let you go, I want to tell you all real quickly that we are having a live presentation of our online school. So people who want to learn quickly in a fraction of the time for a fraction of the cost, please let me know. You'll be put on a list. I will tell you, though, that, and I'll get more information, the first course, the first lesson is free, and it gives people a taste of what they will be learning, and that's next Sunday, a week from today. So you definitely don't want to miss that because it's free. After that, there is a cost, but there's a payment program, and it's less than what it would actually be once it's actually online. So you'll have live teaching on Zoom. So definitely take advantage of that. We want to get as many students as possible because we're trying to train people to be medical missionaries. God bless you. We're signing off at this time.